This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Eniade.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Do it, lady.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show, T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, a.k.a. the place that produces the place, have the latest. And the latest is we are live. Let me hear you, folks. Let me hear you. We are live. Yeah, I see people chewing on some. Yeah, we got a whistle guy. Oh, I love a good whistle guy right there.
Linda, Mom?
I know she got
oh,
it.
Oh, big whistle. We were at the Astros game the other day. I said, Mom, you were blowing my eardrums, baby. You're right next to me. Correa can't hear you.
Yeah, he can. I bet he could. But we are live here in Cypress, Buffalo Wild Wings, for the first of at least 18 Thirsty Thursdays here in Cypress, right off 290. Make your way. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. You got another hour. You're getting off work. Bring your ass on down and have a good time. You got beer specials. You got drink specials. You got food specials. You got our Bud Light crew who have helped us put this together. They're hooking people up with things. You can win things. It is a good time being had as we get you ready. And tonight, the NFL season starts. Right now, for some reason, we got Denver Nuggets Carmelo on the TV screens right now. But it is so many TV screens. As soon as the Cowboys and the Eagles get going to kick off the season, they will be right there, and you can see
Damn,
everything
was funny.
Right here. Shannon's in the building.
You know the one you can hear, Tyler. You know who it is.
There will be TVs ready for you to watch Thursday Night Football as the season kicks off. And let's start there, Clint. We haven't really talked about it, but the NFL season starts. It is back, and I guess I'll start with this. The Eagles have been the runaway favorite in the NFC by any metric that I've been able to see. Vegas has them first or second when it comes to Super Bowl odds right now. And the Cowboys, their offseason was full of drama. They just traded Micah Parsons in the NFL, as Tyler knows. The Eagles are an 8.5-point favorite. That is a big number in the NFL, especially for rivals that play every year that know each other pretty well. Clint, will this be a close game in the fourth quarter, in your opinion? You think this will be tight? Will the Cowboys be able to keep it together?
I don't see how they I don't think with Micah Parsons. This has nothing to do with Micah Parsons not being there, by the way. I just don't think they can keep up with what Philly is right now.
Really? You think this is a...
I mean, 8.5 is a big number. I mean, if I were betting eight and a half, I would probably take the Cowboys at 8.5. But I don't think it's... I mean, I'm not putting my hard-earned money on it.
So you don't... I don't know. The Cowboys' offense is kind of a wild card this thing. I know it's, and I know Shannon's laughing at him. I know it's... But if you start to look at it, man, you know, Dak, the last time Dak was fully healthy, he finished second in the MVP race. They got CeeDee Lamb. They've got, you know, add George Pickens. Like, if you're going to try to double, you know, one of those guys, the other one can kill single coverage. Ferguson's a pretty good tight end. Their running game has, as you would say, leaves a lot to be desired. But I don't know, man. I think the Eagles win, but I don't think this is like the Super Bowl. Well, I don't think that they're just going to beat the hell out of the Cowboys. I think there's a game. I think
No, look, I just trust the Super Bowl defending champs. I mean, the defending Super Bowl champs, I trust them to be more prepared week one than the Dallas Cowboys, given what all they've been through with Jerry and Micah and everything else. And I just, if it weren't the Philadelphia Eagles and the defending Super Bowl champs, then I would have probably a little different opinion of it. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be terrible this year. I don't think Micah Parsons is just breaks the back of the Cowboys. I think they're going to be competitive. I just don't know if they're going to be competitive week one out of the gate with the defending Super Bowl champ. I'll tell you this, Jerry Jones needs it. Jerry Jones has never needed a regular season game. And I'm talking about just be competitive. Just don't get ran through. Jerry Jones has never needed a game to unfold in a competitive manner more so than he needs this one right here.
I don't have time to have a bad time.
I hear you, Jerry. I know, but you're on the verge of having a real bad time week one. To me, this is – if they can stop the run, if they can stop the Eagles' run –
and try to make Jalen Hurts beat them.
Yeah, if they can load up and stop the run, if they can just bottle up Saquon Barkley, which, again, I know it's a mouthful, but if they can just show some level of improvement on how bad they were last year defensively – then I think it's a win for Jerry. I think it's a win for the Cowboys. If they can figure out a way to win a ball game tonight, I mean, boy, look out, Dallas. Downtown Dallas better get ready because Jerry's going to be out and about this weekend. I mean, he has never needed.
If they were to somehow pull this game off, boy, you won't be able to shut Jerry up.
He's never needed a competitive outing from his team more than he needs right now. There's no doubt.
Get it on my schedule.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Eagles win this game tonight. I just don't. 8.5, and as far, I think, apart that a lot of people in the league think they are, I don't know if it's that distance. I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a good game, and the Eagles pull away
well,
late.
You look at it. It's the kind of matchup with Dak, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, and what Dallas typically is, which is has been anyway, which is an aggressive vertical passing attack. Assuming they can apply pressure to Philly in some way, shape, or form to where they've got to hurry up, they got to score some points, they got to throw the football, then they got a shot. The question is can they get Philly out of their comfort zone? And I just don't know that they have that in them.
Yeah, not many people did that last year to Philly, especially towards the end of the year. So
especially teams that were 30, 31, or 32 against the run.
Yep. But they got Kenny Clark, though. So,
well, that's
according to Jerry, that's a game.
That's kind of where I'm going with it, though, Ron, is if they can just slow the run down enough to where they're competitive, then the Clark thing looks like it pays off, right?
Yeah.
So, Jerry needs it. Jerry needs it.
Yeah, Kobe Smith, Eagles by 17, champ.
Ooh.
Eagles by 10, at least. I could see it 10, but I could also see it, it's a 7-point game in the fourth quarter, or a 3-point game, and they score and they go over.
Look, here's the other thing.
Wait to see what Tyler's doing on best bets on this.
Well, here's the other thing on this one, Ron. If this is Eagles by 17, we're staring at 4 or 5 win season in the face of the Cowboys.
Like, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
You would take that much away from game one.
This thing is fragile, man. I'm not, again, the Micah Parsons deal is – I don't think it's a major ordeal relative to their record this year. But let it show in the first game and the team start questioning management, which I'm sure they already do. That spells disaster, man.
Yep. All right, that is the latest. The NFL season gets started tonight. In Philadelphia is the defending champs. Their coach did not know it was the night to drop the banner, but they will drop the banner tonight as they will take on the Dallas Cowboys.
There it was. Glory hole.
5 o'clock fire.
That gets me every time. All right. The Astros, they will look to try to win this series tonight. A couple of injury notes before we get you ready for the game tonight. Josh Hader. He had a follow-up to his imaging, and it showed that he still has that strain in the left shoulder. It's healing, but Joe Espada said it is still no timetable, and he is not able to resume throwing yet. So he hasn't been able to throw yet. The Astros are still awaiting the imaging on Spencer Arrighetti. Joe Espada acknowledged that it will be tough for him to get back for the remainder of the regular season. He's dealing with the right elbow inflammation. And then Jake Myers, after taking a ball, hitting a ball, fouling a ball off his leg, he is the DH tonight. He's not going to play in the field. The doctors checked him out, and they said he is fine. But they're being cautious, and he will play as the DH and not in center field. Which one of those jump out to you the most, Clint, when we look at the injury situation?
Well, I mean, obviously Josh Hader's the one that you want back, but I mean that's going to be a long shot in the playoffs. Hopefully we get him back to some degree. Hopefully we can play long enough to get him back. But the Jake Myers one is the one that, boy, it seems to be right there, right? We're within a week maybe of Jake Myers being back in the big leagues and that center field turnstile in center field being done away with, and you get Jake Myers back out there. And is he even remotely close to what he was when he got injured? You know, I mean, he's hitting 300 and contributing in a big way, speed on a base pass. I mean, a great glove in center field. So Jake Myers is the one for me there that's got a legit shot to get back and that we could probably use the most.
Yeah, that's a good point, right? Like, we're talking about Jake back. Get Jake back, Tyler. Let's get Jake. But is Jake going to be the Jake that we watch for those 2.5 months, or is he going to go back to being the Jake that we've seen over the time that he's been here?
Let's be honest. I mean, he's got a little wiggle room given what's out there in his place.
Oh, listen. Clearly, Jake is not getting set down. Jake is a made man somehow, right? I'm not saying that Jake is got anything to worry about. Jake can hit 215, and I think he'll still have his gig in a way that maybe others haven't.
He'd still have the highest average.
But they out of that turn.
Uh-huh.
But they, you know, when he was last here, Clint, they needed him to be the guy that he was. They needed. Hell, he was betting. Fifth, I mean, he was batting over Christian Walker and Yainer Diaz there.
Well, we still haven't seen the Astros lineup hold this year.
No.
I mean, not once you've added Carlos Correa.
Yeah, not Correa.
I mean,
yes.
you've added Correa. You've added Urias, who is consistently in there. You got
Sanchez.
You got Jordan back. Sanchez is a piece of it now. Walker seems to be swinging the bat better. So, yeah, I mean, like we've yet to see the best lineup that the Astros can roll out there. We didn't seem really remotely close, to be honest with you.
Yeah. No, we haven't.
We're getting there, though.
We're getting there. By the way, big tonight is Christian Javier, as he will get a start. His last outing, 6 innings, no hits, no runs.
I was at that game.
Were you?
Yeah.
I figured you were. And this is against obviously a good opponent. Like, we can talk about the Yankees. The last 2 days, the Yankees have hit. And Giancarlo Stanton almost broke a window yesterday. And they have swung the bats well. So this will be a real challenge for Christian Javier. And if he pitches well again, if he gets somewhere in the quality start range, that's even a bigger step. And the Angels is one thing, but you do this against the Yankees in a big game. They've got a 4-game lead. But if you do this in a big game, this is even bigger against that type of lineup. So Christian Javier is a big, big thing to watch tonight to see if he can continue to do what he's been doing. Lineup again out today. If you're looking, Peña, Alvarez is back in left field. Altuve behind him at the DH spot. Correa, Walker, Diaz behind the plate. Smith, Urias, and Dubon is in center field. That is the lineup behind Christian Javier.
5 o'clock fire.
Coming up here, we will get to the injuries and what this means for the Texans. But in the NFL, Amari Cooper, he had been sitting on the sidelines, Clinton, and hadn't been signed. And here recently, he just signed with the Raiders, like last week. And he had talked about, I honest to God, I remember listening to him at his press conference say, hey, I just letting everybody know I got a lot of juice left. I got a lot left in the tank. All right, and now he's retiring from the Raiders in the NFL. He is shutting it down about a week into that thing. I don't know what happened, what changed his tune, but Amari Cooper started at Alabama, went to the Raiders, had a good run with the Cowboys, the Browns, and didn't do much with the Bills, but now I guess he is going to retire after saying, He felt like he had a lot left in the tank. Interesting.
Boy, reality set in when you got back in camp with an NFL team.
Is that what it was?
When he got off that couch and got in camp and said, whoa, this is a little different animal here. Maybe he didn't get the treatment. Maybe he didn't get the treatment that he wanted. Either way it goes. This is one of the guys that was on the short list of receivers that, hell, I was hoping the Texans would pay attention to a little earlier in free agency. And so glad they didn't bark up that tree.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. He had been sitting over there for a minute, and nobody was really barking up that tree. And that's just weird. He was talking with such confidence. It didn't seem like a guy that was going to shut it down in a week. But he is retiring from the game of football, and the Raiders without Amari Cooper. All right, as we continue, coming up, you have one more segment to go. One more segment in terms of being able to put your name in our raffle box. We will call the winner coming up after this next segment, so stay tuned for that. You can win an autographed football by Danielle Hunter and join our guy Victor, who is our first winner today. You can be a winner as well coming up here in just a bit here at Buffalo Wild Wings, live here right off 290 here in Cypress. Big injury news with the Texans. From the receiver room, two guys potentially out, not just for Sunday, but maybe even longer, Christian Kirk, Braxton Berrios. How big a deal is this, and what's the next move for the Texans? We'll discuss that next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
There you go. There we go. We're back. We're back here live in Cypress. Oh God, we got a couple of Steeler fans out here.
A couple Steelers fans out here.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Fired up about Aaron Rodgers. There you go. Hey,
you
there
wish
we go.
You were Gotham.
as we are live here, Buffalo Wild Wings, having a good time. Again, after this segment, we will have our final drawing. So you might want to get your name in our raffle box if you have not done so. In the building, make sure you do so before we get out of here. Clint, the news coming out from an injury front with the Texans is a bit rough at this point when you come in here and one of your big offseason additions is Christian Kirk, a guy that you've talked about in a lot of different ways of his importance to C.J. Stroud and this offense. And the one big thing that people had concerns about was his health. I remember when he first got here, I said, if he stays healthy, he's been one of the better slots in the league. Health has been an issue. Well, clearly health is an issue again. This from Adam Schefter, Texans wide receiver. Christian Kirk has a strained hamstring. It is expected to be sidelined for at least Sunday's opener versus the Rams and possibly longer per source. One source estimated that it could be a 2-week injury for Kirk, but the Texans will be cautious with him. And then off of that as well, coming from Aaron Wilson, he says the Texans are prepping not only to be without Christian Kirk, but also Braxton Berrios, as he also has a hamstring issue. Both of those guys, I would say, when you say NFL experience, because obviously Noel and Hickens don't have any NFL game experience yet in regular season, those are your two most veteran slot receivers. And then Berrios is obviously your punt returner. So that is a punt returner, two slots. That leaves a hole there that they're going to at least Sunday have to fill.
Yeah, look, I think best case scenario for the Texans coming into this season is Christian Kirk is your number two wide receiver, and he has a career year, and he flirts with 1,000 yards, and he stays healthy, right? Braxton Berrios is your punt returner that you can package. You can have a Berrios package with this offense. We saw a little sample size of it in the preseason where he snuck out the back door, and you give him the ball in the flats, and he goes and gets a touchdown. Like those kind of gimmicky type of plays. That's best case scenario. And those two guys buy enough time for Jalen Noel to fit in that mold somehow. They buy enough time and produce enough together so that Jaden Higgins is given a little bit of time to get his feet on the ground in NFL football, right? And I firmly believe, I'm not saying this because, and I'm not including Berrios because he's injured. I'm including Berrios because he jumped on the scene in the preseason. And to me, he reminded me real quick of kind of what that veteran see the game through the quarterback lens means, right? And, you know, that being the best case scenario, two of them are out the window. And now all of a sudden you got to fast track this rookie, or you've got to play a lesser player inside in Christian Kirk's role. This is not ideal for the Texans. I think it's something that could hurt them in a big, big way. Puts a ton of pressure on Nick Caley. Puts a ton of pressure on Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz is a big piece of this. If you're ever going to bounce back from last year, this is the game to do it when they need you the most. So, yeah, this is a big deal with Christian Kirk not being in the game. And then it's just double whammy when you look up and Braxton Berrios is possibly not going to be there either.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. You go more to the tight end position. You go more to that than others would feel. Because people here on the text line, they're rolling through. And they many fans seem to be very comfortable with the thought that Jalen Noll can step right in and give them what they need there. And I think body type and ability wise, he looks like he's going to be a slot, right? That's what he looks. He's quick in and out of breaks. We've seen that a lot. Hell, I think he's probably the option at punt returner too to start things off. He looks like he is that guy. It could be that guy. I do wonder if that is where they turn to give the lion's share of the minutes and the time when they're out there with Kirk Hurt.
Look, physically, he can do things that Christian Kirk can do. In fact, I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. He's been – I mean, shoot, you look at training camp, all the practices I've been to, if you're just talking which receivers jump – which players jump off the field – I mean, he's been that guy more than anybody. I mean, and whether you look at it because he's a rookie or not, Jalen Noll is the guy that the ball's in the air, it's getting thrown down the field, and you look up and he's the one catching it a good chunk of the time. So the problem with having a rookie at slot is not can he go do Christian Kirk-like things. I think, yes, I think Jalen Noll can play in an NFL game. I think he can go make plays down the field intermediately and in the quick game. I think you can run an offense with him on the field. The problem is the three or four times throughout a game where you get some kind of exotic look and some kind of exotic pressure from a defense and he misses it and he's not doesn't make himself available for the quarterback and the quarterback gets sacked, that is a game-changing type play more so than can he go out there and make plays throughout a game. I doubt that, but it's you look up and if they have 55 offensive snaps and two or three of those snaps he doesn't see something – or maybe he sees it and doesn't see it in time, like doesn't see it right away, then, you know, you're getting beat. So that's the difference between the two. Because I agree wholeheartedly with you. Jalen Noll's skill set is plenty good enough to play at this level. But the NFL workload and noticing what's going on defensively from a pressure perspective is a different animal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the other part. It's more than just catching the ball. It's more than just, hey, all right, third down, I'm looking your way. It is, are you able to read hot routes? You're able to read exactly what it is that you're doing, and can you have trust? And to me, it's just like there's a lot there that's going to be on his plate potentially. I would imagine, Clint, that he is going to be the person that's, you know, in the return game. You know, having
that's a big part of it. I tell you, man, as just speaking from experience, for me, man, it's designed in the play for that particular player to be the hot read, that's the easy part, right? It's the feel for the game of, hey, man, like there's nothing worse in football to me when I'm watching it or hell when I was playing it, but there's nothing worse than you come to the line of scrimmage and you have got a clear, it's all out pressure, man. You got a safety down over the tight end. You got another safety walking up, creeping around the end of the line of scrimmage. You got corners locked up eye to eye with your wide receivers. And then you snap the football, and your tight end goes 10 yards before he ever looks at you. And I'm like, what in the hell did you think was going to happen? Did you think I was going to survive all this back here and then throw you a 30-yard pass or something? Like those kind of things of Jalen Noll, you may not be the outlet, but are you giving the quarterback your eyes when pressure is coming, just peeking inside? Those kind of things are what you worry about with a rookie wide receiver out there versus the veteran that's gone for 1,000 yards from the slot before. Little things like that is what you lose. And really, I don't know that this offense is ready to lose that going into week one.
Yeah, and I know someone just texted in. It's something you've talked about before with this when we were thinking this could be a possibility, and now it appears to be one, is someone texted in, unleash Hutch. And listen, I think he's going to be on the field. I think he's been playing on the outside most of the time, and I thought, I've been saying, if they go three receivers, I'm not sure that more times than not it's not going to be him instead of Higgins right now. But you're saying he may get some of that run in the inside.
I would bet on the opposite. I would bet on we're going to see more Higgins because Hutch is going to have to work inside. That's what I would bet on.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to expect a rookie wide receiver to notice safety rotation or corner leverage and run a route tree more so than it is to put a rookie in the slot receiver and say, hey, know all your different, you know, responsibilities, but also be able to see linebackers, be able to see pressures, be able to see different coverages and different safety rotations. I think it's easier to go Hutch, you come inside and play some of the slot stuff. Higgins, you get outside and we're going to need you to make some plays out wide. I think that is probably more apt to happen. And I think the team's probably more comfortable with that simply because there's no denying that Xavier Hutchinson and C.J. Stroud have a phenomenal chemistry. I mean, there's no denying that.
713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this. As you look at this early, you know, with the understanding of what we're looking at with the Texans, this is just in the last hour or so that we found out. With this Christian Kirk especially out, does this change your thoughts of how and expectations of what this offense will do coming up on Sunday? Does the loss of Christian Kirk change that for you?
I think it's only fair. I think it's only fair.
He's your second best receiver.
The only pass catcher that would be more detrimental to the offense is obviously Nico Collins. You got a first-time play caller that we've talked about Christian Kirk from a security blanket for the quarterback. You just lost a Christian Kirk, your veteran player that you don't have to tell anything twice. In fact, he's going to see things that you don't even see. You know, you're losing that comfort that you have on this offense. And so I think it's only fair to acknowledge how much this could impact the production offensively.
It's a major impact. Yeah. And we'll talk about this, and we'll probably see this more tomorrow, but it just screams more eyes on Nico Collins.
Yeah.
More eyes on 12.
Well,
and
we've heard it. We've heard about Nick Caley, man. He's going to get the ball to the playmakers in the playmakers' hands and get these guys where they play to their strengths. It's never been needed more of this group than week one with Nico Collins being your real – you want to talk about offensively, you got one game breaker.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's some rookies that people are high on, and I'm fine with that. But you've got one guy that's going to be healthy that you know can hit his head on a goalpost any
proven
time.
One in the NFL. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, coming up as we continue, we'll get you ready for tonight. And big game, NFL gets going. And there was something that C.J. Stroud said when he was asked about the new scheme and how it fits him, how it specifically fits him, the new Nick Caley offense that kind of perked the ears of Clint Sterner. We'll do that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Congratulations, Shannon, our latest winner. She wins the Danielle Hunter autographed football. There you go. You come out with us each and every Thursday. You can win prizes. Hell, last year we were giving away tickets to games. So make sure you come out each and every Thursday for your chance to not just hang out with us, get you ready for a little Thirsty Thursday, enjoy everything from everything that Buffalo Wild Wings can offer and Bud Light. You can come out and win some things as well. First off, shout out to the staff here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Give them a hand. They've been fantastic. As well as our good people at with Bud Light, the Bud Light girls, the Bud Light staff rolling around here. Give them a hand. They've been great as well. Shout out to Shay, our promo staff, our guy Matt, our engineer who's kept us here on the air, and Tyler, of course, back at the station holding it down and making it work as he always does every day. So we appreciate everything, and every day we appreciate how we're able to put together shows out here. Remember, coming up tomorrow, it is a Football Friday, our first Football Friday of the year, and we'll be in Sugar Land. Talliard's, a great spot, great beer garden, great food in and out of the place. They've got their own beers, their own drinks there, and it should be a fun time. It is going to be a place to party. I think Dusty Baker may be there. Probably not, but
he's wearing one of his shirts.
It could be there. Why not lie? Dusty Baker should be there. Nolan Ryan as well. I'm kidding.
I'm doing the World Series.
Don't come out there to roll out there. But, no, we'll be out there having a good time tomorrow, 2 to 6. Come hang out with us as we get Football Friday going tomorrow. All right, Clint, coming up behind us, Texans All Access. They get together for an hour, 6 to 7. No Area 45 tonight. I know that pisses some of you all off. No Area 45 tonight, but you will be able to catch the coverage of Thursday Night Football, courtesy of Westwood One. Week one starts. Cowboys-Eagles will have that right after Texans All Access. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. So stay tuned for that. All right, Clint, this was C.J. Stroud yesterday, and I know this jumped out. My guy, let's go Astros, see if they can finish off the Yankees. He's ready to go. But C.J. Stroud, this is what he said when he was asked the question, how does the new offensive scheme under Nick Caley, how does this make a better fit for you personally as a player? Here is C.J. Stroud with his response to that.
It's a lot of different ways. I feel like a lot of times the NFL, from what I've learned, is like a lot of coaches or teams try to make like the player fit the scheme instead of the scheme fitting the player. I think it's sometimes a good thing because you get to challenge yourself to try new things. But also, I think you should come in and try to have the scheme fit the players in a way, just because, you know, like, you're really, there's some certain guys are really good at X, Y, and Z, not good at A, B, and C. And I think, like, there's a balance you need to have to, like, challenge yourself to try new things, but also doing things that, you know, you're already naturally good at. So this offense does a good job at that, of, like, trying to, or doing things that guys are naturally good at, but also challenging to try new things. So.
All right, Clint, your thoughts after hearing his description when asked how he sees this scheme fitting his offense.
Look, I think the biggest concern with the Texans this year is the offensive line. I think the second biggest concern is Nick Caley and the fact that he's never called plays. And on that Nick Caley front, one of the things that gives me a little bit of a pause around Nick Caley is that every time somebody in this organization is asked about Nick Caley or his offense, one, they lead with juice and energy, and two, they can't ever explain what makes this offense different. What makes this offense a better fit for you as the Texans quarterback? And that was word salad if I've ever heard it from C.J. Stroud. And the only point there is like I would think at this point C.J. would be able to, if it were true, I would think that CJ would be able to answer that question thoroughly and very, very specifically, and that was the exact opposite. And so, again, not I don't care about CJ answering a question or not, but just one more for me, one more feather in the cap of doubt, if you will, about Nick Caley and what this offense is going to look like. You know, I've been to practice. I've listened to all the audio. Yep. And I feel like I could answer that question 10 times better than CJ did.
I think
they've been fed lines. I think they've been fed the juice and energy. I think they've been fed the we're going to get playmakers the ball in space, and I think they've been fed constantly that you know, we're going to put you in position to play to your strengths, not your weaknesses. And I think that's getting regurgitated instead of just, hey, man, you know, here's the deal. I mean, C.J. Stroud, it's very simple. How does this offense fit you better than the last offense did? It's easy. My entire career, I've always had command at the line of scrimmage. I've always had the ability to communicate at the line of scrimmage and get things right and protect myself. I've got that in Nick Caley's offense. You know, the tight end position was really important to me my rookie year. And Nick Caley, being a former tight ends coach and his history there, his experience coaching tight ends, he's allowed me to you know, work better with the tight end group and make those guys better. We've heard D'Amico Ryans talk about the top of the route with the tight ends, right? It just, Nick Caley has made a big difference with these tight ends, and I just love throwing to these guys, and we got great chemistry. I mean, there's, you know, the communication piece, not CJ communicating, but the ease of communicating whatever verbiage it is that Nick Caley's installing. You know, that's there. That's more quarterback friendly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so much low-hanging fruit that is real. It's real, I mean, tangible evidence that it's mind-blowing that nobody seems to be able to communicate that.
Yeah. No, it is interesting. At least, though, we do see – we can at least with our eyes see a difference and a change in how it could – be a better thing, as you've listed.
Oh, yeah,
up.
No,
at least we can see it, and it's not just nothing we can see.
The emphasis on the run game, right? The emphasis on the run game is going to allow me to do some of the play action stuff and stretch the field the way that I've done in the past, and I know I can do. We're going to do it more efficiently with this emphasis on play action. I mean, there's a ton of things that Nick Caley appears, you know, in theory, based on what we've heard and seen, that is very quarterback friendly, and that you would think would be a great fit for C.J. Stroud. You know, the talking points that seem to be communicated are interesting. And for me, just as a fan, it kind of puts me in a spot of like, man, is Nick Caley really doing these things? Is C.J. Stroud really going to have more control at the line of scrimmage? Is C.J. Stroud really going to –
because they can't really articulate what it is.
Are they going to give it to him? Does he want it? Is that really something that he does well and they trust him with already? Like, it draws me to a spot where I start questioning some things of like, really, how long is it going to take for this thing to become more C.J. Stroud friendly?
Yep. All right, as we continue here live here on The Drive here at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Cypress, before we get up out of here, you know what time it is. T-Mill's best bets. Yesterday he went 3-for-4. Only the Cubs screwed him over. Won big money there with Yordan Alvarez getting 2 hits there from it. Your best bets tonight, T-Mill, is I'm sure – it'll have a lot to do with football being back.
Hell yeah, it is. It's our first slate of NFL picks. I've been waiting on this, well, since the Super Bowl, whenever I was a degenerate and betting
there
on that.
Go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hell yeah, man. We got football back. Week 1 begins tonight. I mean, it is the crappy-ass Cowboys, but it is a really good Eagles team, too, in this game tonight on Thursday Night Football on Amazon. And I got 4 best bets for you.
Okay.
I'm on the under. Now, I don't know what it's at now, if it's shifted or not, but when I placed my bet, I got under 49 points scored in this one at minus 135 odds between the Eagles and the Cowboys. Like that bet a whole lot.
Okay.
I'm also on Philadelphia in the first half. Their first half total, the Eagles, over 13.5 points. For those scoring at home, that would be 2 touchdowns with the extra points. That would get you money. And then 2 player props to finish things out on our first Thirsty Thursday of the year. Jalen Hurts, the Channel View kid, over 36.5 rushing yards for him tonight. And then George Pickens for the Cowboys, over 4.5 receptions. I expect Dak to be throwing quite a bit this evening. I think he'll knock 4.5 out pretty quick. Those are your 4 best bets. Follow the money.
God, that Eagles first half total, that looks pretty easy.
Right?
Seems low against that defense, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, and what they did last year. The only one that I'm – well, we'll see what George Pickens – well, he should, but he can be real feast or famine, at least in Pittsburgh, the way they used him.
He dropped 2 or 3, too, now.
Yeah, but it seemed like – and in Pittsburgh, and maybe it changes, he just seemed to run the same – just go routes and almost like DK Metcalf, and it would be really low percentage, and he'd have them weird games where they have three catches. So we'll see.
Real
the
quick,
only one for,
I gave some false information. I want to clear it up.
Damn
it's not on Amazon tonight where you normally find Thursday Night Football. It's going to be on NBC and Peacock.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Cox got it with NBC tonight. What? That's what they call it. I was watching the Cox last night. Started Bel Air. I know I'm late. But, man, they had me going for a couple of hours last night. But, no,
is
it'll
that
be
what
good.
Made you wear the most sexy draws today?
I tell you, it might have. No, yeah. I told you. It was them or the jock strap. And I decided not to go with the jock strap. All right. That's T-Mill's best bets. We'll get you some money tonight as he's been hot here of late. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. The whole staff here, great job. Shout out to Ariante Ursary for joining us at some point in the show. If you're looking for around 4 o'clock is when he joined. He joined us three times. You're right, three different times he joined us today. So pick out which one it was. It was a good time to be had. Clint. Tyler, I am Ron, the show Hughley as always. Houston, we love you, baby. Always seems need to get back and get you some matching draws.
I found some underwear that I like, and I'm sticking with it.
He couldn't let draws come out, could he? He said, I got some underwear.
He said he walked around. He started it, and then he said,
hell with it. I'm going to stick with underwear.
Hair thieves, baby.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town.